We'll continue now with our study of Pachad Yitzchak for Shabbos, and we're looking at Maamar Zayin. We start with the Nusach of Tefillah of Shachris on Shabbos, Ushnei Luchos Avonim Horid B'yado, V'kasu Bahem Shmiras Shabbos. And we're finding this Nusach a little bit odd, because the beginning of this Piskad, this paragraph, is a description of the great achievement of Moshe Rabbeinu, his specific, unique status. He's called an Eved Neman. And therefore the Tefillah says, Eved Neman Karasolo, Ukliel Tiferes Nasatolo. And this Kliel Tiferes is a reference to the Shnei Luchos Havonim. Moshe brings down the Luchos from the mountain. And then V'kasu Behem Shmira Shabbos, on the Luchos is engraved the mitzvah of Shabbos. And the question is, why is this V'kasu Behem Shmira Shabbos a relevant piece? Why is it a continuation, logically, of what came before it, namely the description of the great level of Moshe Rabbeinu, his Maila, his achievement? Fine, he brought down the Luchos, that's a tremendous achievement, but the fact that Shabbos, amongst 10 different Dibros, is inscribed on the Luchos, that doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Madrego, with the special Maila of Moshe Rabbeinu, his level and his achievement. What's the ribui here? As if you're adding, you know what, he was so great, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's an Eved Neman, Kliel Tiferes Nasatolo, Ushnei Luchos Avonim Hor V'yado, and then V'kosavim Shmir Shabbos. I mean, is it just coincidental that we're describing Moshe and his greatness? We talk about Moshe as an Eved Neman, we talk about the Tiferes, the Kliel Tiferes Nasato, and then we mention that on the Luchos that he brought down, there is the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos. I mean, the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos is no different than any of the other mitzvahs that are inscribed on the Luchos. Why is it then that the fact that Shabbos is engraved in the Luchos, that itself is a horah, that means a teaching that indicates the greatness of Moshe, and that's specified and that's specific above and beyond the greatness of the fact that he brought the Luchos and gave them to Klal Yisrael. Now, if we go back to the parasha of Luchos, and this is in Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph, the Torah describes that Hashem is speaking to Moshe up on Har Sinai, and then it says, "V'hoya kechaloso ledaber ito," that after Moshe Rabbeinu completes his receiving the word of Hashem, after Hashem completes the dibur, and then Moshe Rabbeinu gives the luchos. Now, the statement of Chazal in the Tanchuma here in Parshas Kisisa, based on the fact that kechaloso, the word kechaloso is written chaser, not mole. Normally we would say kaloso would be lamed vav, saf vav. Here it's chaf lamed saf vav. The lamed has a cholam but without the vav. And the drasha of Chazal on this omission of the vav is kikaloso. The word kala means the end, but it could also mean kala as a bride. And the Medrash dramatizes this. Ma kala mikushetes bechaf dalet kishutim. A bride has to be beautified for the moment of the great moment of entering into marriage, and we add 24 kishutim, beautiful clothes that she can wear to beautify herself, is kach talmid chacham tzorech shiyehe mekushat ubaki bechaf dalet sfarim. The number 24 in a mirror image here is the number of books in the Holy Writ. The Tanakh is made up of Chaf Dalet Sfarim. And it would seem that the Tanchuma is placing a special emphasis here on the study of the Chaf Dalet Sfarim above and beyond the rest of the Torah. I mean, obviously, the mitzvah Talmud Torah, Shinantum Vanecha, encompasses the entire Torah. There's no reason, Lechora, to single out the Chaf Dalet Sfarim of Kisvei HaKodesh. And furthermore, the Tanchuma finds this very context, this specific moment of when Moshe is about to give the Luchos, and Hashem has completed his Dibur, and now Moshe is about to give the Luchos, at that juncture, wedged between Moshe receiving the Dibur and Moshe giving the Luchos, at that moment, at that juncture, Moshe is a Kala. In other words, he's teaching us a requirement, an emphasis on studying the Chaf Dalet Sfarim. And, you know, the heart would like to understand the significance of this, why the Chaf Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh are being singled out, aren't they included in Kol HaTorah Kula? Now we need a special emphasis with a mashal of the Kala in order to obligate the Talmud Chacham to know the Chaf Dalet Sfarim. Why is that so? Chaf Dalet Sfarim obviously is the Sod of Torah. And insofar as Torah encompasses everything, including Torah Shebichtav and the Chaf Dalet Sfarim, surely a Talmud Chacham is required to know that. And if there is a specific reason why the Yediyas, the knowledge of these 24 books, has to be emphasized, it needs an extra command, if that be the case, then why is this command formulated in the context, in the mashal of the kishutim of the kala? What's the connection between a kala beautifying herself with these 24 kishutim and a person who's a chacham who's studying the 24 books of Kisvei HaKodesh? And finally, the question that's most obvious is, why is it that this moment is pinpointed, is singled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal to Moshe at the moment that he's about to give the Luchos? That moment is singled out as miyuchan and mezuman to teach us and point to the Kala, the Kishut of the Kala, how she beautifies herself, and how the Talmud Chacham has to study the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Kodesh. What specific relationship there is there between the requirement of studying the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Kodesh and the giving of the Luchos? And again, the Torah contains within it everything. The Chaf Dalet Kisvei Kodesh, obviously a prominent part. But why is that part of Torah study, the Chaf Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, singled out in the context of the giving of the Luchos HaBris? And this whole medrash here in Tanchuma gives us a certain entails a certain ambiguity. It in sense challenges us to lift the clouds from this Tanchuma and to penetrate and see the light that the Chachomim are trying to share with us. That's what we want to do in this Maimer. That's what we're dedicating ourselves to, try to remove all the barriers, and reveal exactly what the Chachom are trying to teach us here, and what we should allow to penetrate into our hearts. Let's begin our discussion with a very important point about Maisa Bereishis, the creation of the world. And what we find, and this is a very, very abstract but very fundamental, almost mystical concept, and that is that whatever exists, whatever was created in the world, exists within man. Man, so to speak, has long arms that reach out to the entire universe and all its dimensions. And when the Torah in this story of creation describes the daily summary, so to speak, that God summarized what he created on that particular day of the Sheshes Yemei HaMaaseh, the pasuk says Ki Tov. that Hashem looks at that which He created and it's Ki Tov. That phrase Ki Tov repeats itself throughout. That's in Bereishis Aleph. Then, on the sixth day of creation, man is created. And regarding the existence of man, the creation of man, the Pasuk says that Hashem sees Kol Asher Asav Hinei Tov Ma'od. In the aftermath of the creation of man, God observes the entire creation from the first day and on, everything included therein, and Tov Ma'od, and it's described as Ma'od. And it would seem from this Kol Asher Asav that the essence of man and the uniqueness of man is that he incorporates within him and he integrates into his very personality all the different parts of the universe. And that's what Hashem blesses Adam, man, following his creation on the sixth day, Umilu es ha'aretz v'kivshua. And although that literally translates as conquer the land and subdue it, but it means on a symbolic level much more. There's a much deeper meaning here. And that is that you know why everything is Tov Ma'od, the entire universe is Tov Ma'od, with the creation of man? What elevates the universe to the level of Tov Ma'od? It's the creation of man, because man has within him, Mitzurof to man is the entire universe. And this, in the phraseology of the Pachad Yitzchak, is called Tzuras Ha'adam. Tzuras Ha'adam refers not to just to the physical, biological structure of the human body, the organism, but the Tzuras Ha'adam reflects man in his spiritual greatness. Man as a unique divine creation who encompasses within him the entire universe. Now, we know that the universe is divided up into different strata. For example, we have something called Tzomeach, which is vegetation. And then we have Chai, and that refers to the animals. And we say that Tzomeach and Chai also somehow has a relationship to man. Man intakes Tzomeach and Chai into his body. For example, if you speak about Mizonos, you talk about man's food, which he eats to sustain himself. He eats vegetables that he takes from Tzomeach, and that's connected to his Tzuras Ha'adam. And if you talk about Chai, about Bali Chaim, and even for a vegetarian, what he does is he takes the animals and he can use their skins to make clothing. Or he could shear off the wool off the back of a sheep and make something warm, a sweater to wear. In fact, the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis quotes a statement of Rav Nachman, Hai delo amris li miurta mishum delo achli bisra detura. That in a sense, the reason why I was a little bit weak and yesterday I wasn't able to share this with you is because I didn't eat my meat. Which means that man takes the meat, he takes the flesh of the meat, and he converts it into a certain power of life, a vital source of energy, and with that he's able to understand the Torah. So he's taking from the physical universe, and the intake allows him, by providing him with energy, to say Svaris in Torah. So Rav Nachman says, the reason why I wasn't able to give you such a good svar yesterday is because I didn't eat my meat. But then the question becomes, the universe is made up of domain, of carbon, of inanimate objects. They don't grow, they're not like vegetation, they're not included in his intake, they have no vitamins and no nutrients to sustain man. V'lo b'chal levush, and perhaps with the exception of one part of the domain world, which is Melach, that might have a special status of Mizonos, but in general, you can't take stones and make them into a lavush and wear them as clothing to protect the body. That belongs to the world of Tzomeach and Chai. So we have to find other methods in which man can take domeim, can take inanimate objects, and integrate them into his tzuras adam, into his spiritual makeup, so that his arm and his touch will affect and impact even the world of domeim. And it's very interesting that one of the various ways in which man can take the domeim and integrate it into his tzuras adam, into his makeup, and use it for a service of Hashem, is by using beautiful stones and pearls for kishut, for tachshitim, to beautify, to wear them as jewelry. Jewelry are domeim, are inanimate objects. And in a sense, the beauty of man, of his tzuras adam, or as the mystics talk about the parts of adam, is that man can take even a domeim, and he has the ability, he has the power, because of the school of this domeim, you know, some unique feature that's inherent in the domeim. In this case, the, you know, the light and the beauty and the shine of this piece of jewelry. And he can use it for himself and integrate it into his tzuras adam. And what we find is, therefore, that in the development of creation, and there are various strata, madrigas, that go up all the way from the bottom, the carbon, the inanimate objects, which is the lowest on the totem pole in the triangle, we move forward to a higher level, which is tzomeach, and then finally chai, till we get to man at the tip of the iceberg, at the tip of the pyramid. In effect, man reaches down to the lowest level of creation, that's the domeim, and although its level is so much lower than that of a tzomech or a chai, nevertheless he can take even the domeim and integrate it into his parts of, into his tzuras adam. And perhaps therefore, if you were looking for a demonstration or a vision of man's greatness, the outstanding description, the outstanding mashal that we could give to establish and demonstrate that man could reach down into the lowest levels of creation, into all the way down to the domeim, and integrate them into his partzuf, would be the beauty of jewelry, and to use this jewelry to beautify man's appearance. And this is especially true, of course, in the case of a kala, that she will take these jewels, these tachshitim, these kishutim, and integrate them into her parts. In fact, in the Sheva Brachas, when we describe the kala, we say Yotzer Ha'adam. The very power, in a sense, of the kala expresses itself in the fact that she is the Yotzer Hodom, she more than the he, and together with, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she brings life into this world. So we talk about Yotzer Hodom, that Bruch has a specific relationship connection to the Kala. She will, in the future, through this marriage, be able to bring about a new Partzuf, a new Tzuras Hodom. And therefore, when she dresses herself and beautifies herself with Kishut, with this jewelry, then this is a concrete representation, if you will, of the Tzuras Adam, in the case of the parts of the Kala, with these beautiful precious stones, with these pearls, that beautify her, and she's brought to the Kala with that special simcha. Her simcha is inherent in the fact, on a deeper symbolic level, the fact that she is revealing through her, the process of beautifying herself with these avanim tovos, with these precious bones, the ultimate power of the tzuras adam, that man connects within him the kol asher asav hinei tov ma'od, even the domeim. And that is a very profound demonstration and revelation of the power of man, the tzuras adam, to reach out and incorporate the entire universe. That's the tachshitim. And basically, when she wears these tachshitim and dresses herself up with these domeim, with these precious stones, It's as if Hapartzuf is declaring, look, look at my power. Look how far reaching is my arm. How far does it go? I can even integrate into myself the lowest levels of the creation, the domain level, and elevate it in order to use it as a conduit to increase, to be mosif, my beauty, my yofi. And that is the very unique nature of kishutim and tachshitim of the kala. It really reflects on the parts of the kala that here, in order to beautify herself, she will embrace even the lowest level of creation, the domain, use those stones, those pearls as a kishut. That's part of the parts of the kala. That's the simcha of the kala. This reveals more than anything the tkifus, the power, the extension of the Tzuris Adam, how far it goes, so that all of creation is incorporated into one entity called Kol Asher Asav Hine Tov Ma'od, that the essence of man is that he incorporates within him, into his personality, all the different segments of the world, of the universe, the created world, Umiluas Aretz V'Kivshua, the entire universe is conquered by man, so to speak, utilized by man, and therefore integrated into his very personality, in order to serve Hashem. And this is the mashal of the Tachshite Akala. Now we get to the Nimshal. And we want to speak about the fact that the Talmud Chacham is an individual who knows the Torah. And Veshinatam Levanecha Shiyu Mechudodim Beficha. And basically Torah is Miloshen Hora. The power of a Talmud Chacham reaches its apex and expresses itself in the most profound way in the koach and the power that he has of Horah. And if you take a look in the Gemara in Horios, on Daf Dalet Omer Aleph, in the famous sugya of Parhelim Dovash Al Tzibu, when the judges, the Talmidei Chachamim, made an error, the halacha is that if they made an error in interpreting the law, it was a question of interpretation, and as a result, a very severe Isur was violated on behalf of the Tzibur, the community, following the verdict of the Bezdin and the courts. They violated such an Isur that now the Tzibur is chayim in a parhelim dovashal Tzibur. That's only with regard to things, laws that are not explicit. If, let's say, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Bezdin, the members of the Bezdin of the court, made a mistake, they erred in something that's explicit in the Torah, in the Chumash itself, then such a mistake is not, it's not even begether hora, and therefore it doesn't engender a chiv of parhelim dover shel tzibur. That which is explicit in the Torah doesn't lend itself to hora, because as Chazal used the phrase, zil kari bei rav, I mean, let just a child, a bei rav, read the Torah, and that's enough. We don't need talmidei chachamim here. You know, the concept of hora is when you have a level of doubt, you know, some sort of ambiguous law that depends upon the interpretation. That's when we invite the Talmidei Chachamim to study and to give us insights and to hand down a hora, some sort of verdict. But that which is explicit in the Torah, in the Chumash, is a zil kari bei rav, is that's mufka, that's completely excluded from the gedder, from the chal shem hora, and therefore the chiyuv of a parhelim dover shel tzibur, which is engendered when there was a hora but betos. And therefore we could derive from this Gemara in Horios, just on a superficial level alone, is that knowledge of zil kari bei rav is not something that is integrated into the partsuf of a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham's partsuf, his unique feature and characteristic, is that he's endowed with the power of Hora. But knowledge which is zil kari bei rav, just read the pasuk and you'll see it right there. And it's excluded from the gedder, from the definition of a chal shem Hora. Therefore, when a Talmud Chacham reads that which is explicit in the Torah, that's not integrated into his parzuf, because his godless, his greatness, his essence is that he has the koach of Hora. But all this is wrong. Completely wrong. Because even the knowledge of zil kari ve'rav is integrated into the parts of a Talmud Chacham and becomes etzem me'atzomav, part of his very, you know, the very structure of his bones, Basam Ibsaro, a phrase that we find in Chumash Bereishis describing the creation of woman. And the reading of the Torah, in the case of the explicit Torah, meaning Chumash, is also part and parcel of the perfection, the shlemus, the completion of the parts of Talmud Chacham. And that is true with regard to the knowledge of Torah of Chumash, which is a knowledge of Zil Karibei Rav. And even though the knowledge of Zil Karibei Rav, of the psukim themselves, the verses that are explicit in the Torah, is a knowledge that's mufka, it's completely excluded from the status of Ahurah, as far as Parhelim Dovah Shel Tzivah is concerned, the Chal Shem Ahurah does not apply to the idea of the psukim that are explicit, that's Zil Karibei Rav, that even a child can interpret, but rather, it, nevertheless, the knowledge of the Torah, of the psukim of the Torah, is something that requires understanding. It requires an intellectual, logical facility, a faculty which man is endowed with. You can't say that an animal is going to read the psukim in Torah Shebichsav. And with regard to, for example, the mitzvah of Torah study, if, as the Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskins in Hilchos Torah Talmud Torah Perek Beis, Kriya b'Torah Shebichsav, if you read the psukim of Torah Shebichsav, then you're required to recite a bracha, Birchas HaTorah. Had you not recited a bracha and all you're doing is reading Torah Shebichsav, you would be required to recite a bracha. And the chiddush here of Torah Shebichsav is that even the Kriya itself is considered an act of Talmud Torah. It engenders a kiyum Talmud Torah requiring a bracha, even if he doesn't understand what he's reading. This is the breakthrough of Hilchos Talmud Torah in the status of Torah Shebichsav. In Torah Shebaal Peh, for example, there's no such thing as Torah, as a Chefetz Shel Torah, without Havana, without understanding. You would not make a bracha on reading Mishnayos, for example. However, there is a kiyum Talmud Torah on reading the Chumash, even if he doesn't understand the word that he's reading. And therefore he recites a bracha. And that's codified by the Rav Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah. In other words, Torah Shebichsav lends itself to a status as Torah. As far as Talmud Torah is concerned, it has that madrig of Talmud Torah. And therefore, this level of Torah, although it in no way is related to the special, unique, you know, das and seichel of the parts of the Talmud Chacham. We said that the essence of the Talmud Chacham, through his knowledge and through his understanding, is hora. You can't say that Zil Karibei Rav, just reading the psukim, is hora if he doesn't understand what he's reading. But yet, despite the fact that kriyas osios, that reading letters without understanding what he's reading in Torah Shebichsav, is not at all related to Seichel and Das, to understanding and insight. He doesn't understand what he's reading. Yet, there is a Madrega here of Torah. He makes a Bracha, despite the fact he doesn't understand it. There's no Seichel and Das. And why would that be related to the Talmud Chacham? Why would we want to, you know, in any way integrate that into the parts of a Talmud Chacham when it's completely mufka from Das and Seichel? And yet, this is totally wrong. And in truth, every single part of Torah, even the recitation of Torah Shebichsav without Havana, is included in the parts of Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham has an embrace that incorporates all of Torah, any Torah that you can make a bracha on, any Torah that has Chal Hashem Torah to it, even if it means it's Torah without Havana, without Seichel and Das. And this is where perhaps we can explain the mashal of the Tanchuma, of the Kala who wears the Tachshitin. Just like man, as we said, incorporates within him all parts, all segments of the created world, even the lowest on the strata in the pyramid, namely the domain, and that's demonstrated by the Kala who wears stones, precious stones, and brings about simcha in the yofi of the kal, so too a Talmid Chacham integrates within his personality all parts of Torah. And the part of Torah which is similar, which is parallel to the domeim, which is on the lowest level of the totem pole, is the knowledge of the letters of the Torah, knowing the letters of the Torah without even understanding them. That's the domeim of the medaber. You know, it's Torah is obviously v'dibar tabam, and the Torah indicates the highest level of man, his intellect, is he was endowed with a koch hadibur. But nevertheless, there's something that doesn't entail dibur at all in the sense of understanding, but rather it's just tibi mitzarif the osios. It's just a maisa kriya greda, and yet those osios are like precious stones. They represent they are represented by the tachshitim of the kala, and they really indicate and demonstrate the power of the parts of ha'adam, which we saw in the case of the tachshitim of the kala, and the parts of a Talmud Chacham in the case of his reading Torah Shebichsav. And in the language of the Pachad Yitzchak, he says, Zokaku a Talmud Chacham lo chiyach, ki mitzarefu el vidibartavam es bechinas adomeim shel koach hadibur. Meaning, within the power of vidibartavam, of man's great endowment of speech, the lowest level of speech, which is just a matter of tzirif ha'osios, is the reading of Torah Shebichsav. The knowledge of the letters of Torah Shebichsav, or the kriya of those osios, and psukim of Torah Shebichsav, is really the within the pyramid of a divar tabam, of man's incredible, magnificent power of speech. It's the lowest level of power of speech. It's like the domeim of the power of speech. If the domeim, the inanimate object that's pure carbon, is the lowest level within the pyramid of creation, so too it's parallel in the world of dibur, in the world of intellect and study, and man is the dibur of osios, knowing the letters even without understanding their meaning. And this is the Chiddush of the Tanchuma as far as the obligation of knowledge of Chof Dalet Kisvei Kodesh. That Sifrei Kodesh include the knowledge of Ksav, of the very Osios. And therefore, Os Kolul B'kriya B'li Avana, the concept of reading the osios of Chof Dalet Sifrei HaKodesh is identical with the concept of reading without Havana, because with regard to Kisvei HaKodesh, there is a special kiyum of Torah even through reading without Havana, lacking knowledge. And reading these letters of the Torah without Havana is the domeim, as we said, of the Koach HaDibur. And this is the greatness of the parts of the Talmud Chacham, like the Kala who is beautifies herself by wearing the Avonim that are domeim, so too the Koch of the Talmud Chacham with his parts is to read the letters of the Torah of Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, to know them, even at the level of Kriya B'li Avona, because that incorporates the domeim of the Koch HaDibur into the parts of the Talmud Chacham. On the side, I just want to point out that the Pachad Yitzchak is assuming, as a Dover Pashi, doesn't even bother proving it, that the reading of Chof Dalet of all the 24 Kisvei HaKodesh without understanding them is a kiyum of Vidibar Tabam. I'm not 100% sure that that's true. I mean, I don't know what the proof for that is. Kriya below Avonis certainly applies in the context of the Rav Shulchanot to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Can we extend that to all Kisvei HaKodesh? That's an additional Chiddush. Because when you get, for example, to Nevi'im, the Nevi'im are trying to transmit a Nevuah, does the fact that Nevuah has been committed to writing and now is incorporated to the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, does that mean that now, even if I read the words of the Navi without understanding what he's talking about, that's a kiyum of Talmud Torah? That's interesting. But in any event, the premise here that the Pachad Yitzchak is operating with is that there's a kiyum kriya in all of Kisvei HaKodesh. That's not limited to the five books of Moses, to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Now, this obligation incumbent upon the Talmud Chacham, as formulated by the Tanchuma, to know the Chaf Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, is something that is, in a sense, a Yotze Min HaKlal. It's an exception to the rule of Matan Torah. And it has a specific relationship, as we saw in the Tanchuma, with the giving of the Luchos. And it was very difficult in our minds to understand what is the connection between the giving of the Luchos and the requirement, the obligation of a Talmud Chacham to know the Kaf Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh. Obviously, if it's part of Torah, that's what he has to know. But listen carefully, because we can really taste a little bit of honey here, the Ne'imus and the Mesikus, in this connection, in this context, the contextual linkage between the knowledge of Chaf Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh and the giving of the Luchos HaBris. And in order to understand that, let's make the following introduction. The background to this is that the Aseres HaDibros form an entity. They are written in the Luchos. And let's imagine for just one moment that the Aseres HaDibros, insofar as they were inscribed, engraved on the Luchos, are not part of Chumash. They wouldn't be part of Chumash. Again, if you allow yourself that fantasy, that the only place that the Luchos, the only place that you could find the Aseres HaDibros is in the Luchos. Now, we have a sugya in Gittin, which is very familiar to us, that establishes that Dvorim Shebichsav, we cannot change the tzura, the way, the manner in which the Torah was transmitted. And therefore, if the Torah was transmitted as written Torah, it was part of the ksav of the Torah, then you're not allowed to teach them bal peh. You have to read it mitoch haksav. But now, the Aseres HaDibros, again in our theoretical construct, are not included in Torah Shebichsav. Therefore, they're completely mufka, they're excluded from the Isur of Dvar Shebichsav, Iyat Torah Shoylomer Bal Peh. Because the Shem Torah Shebichsav can only be chal on the Aseres HaDibros insofar as they are integrated into the Chumash. But if they remain separate outside of the Chumash, on the Luchos, engraved on these tablets, then they don't have the Shem Ksav. And therefore, the din of Torah Shebichsav, Iyat Torah Shoylomer Bal Peh, doesn't apply to the Aseres HaDibros. But at the same time, the flip side of Dvarim Shebichsav Iyat Torah Shon Lomer Bal Peh, also in the sugya, in the same sugya Gittin, is that Dvarim Shebal Peh Iyat Torah Shon Lomer Biksav, that which is given as Bal Peh, which is transmitted in the corpus of the oral tradition, the oral Torah, is not allowed to be written, to committed to writing. The status of the Aseres HaDibros would not be Torah Shebal Peh, even though it's omitted. If it would be, again, in that theoretical consciousness, it's left out of the Chumash, of the Ksav. So it's not Torah Shebal Ksav, but it's also not Torah Shebal Peh in this context, because the halacha of Ksav and Peh, you know, this distinction is that Ksav is written, and Peh is given as an oral tradition. Now, keep in mind that the Aseres HaDibros in our theoretical construct are only to be found on the Luchos. And that means they're not part of the tradition. They're not part of the transmission of Torah, which defines the halacha of Torah Shebal Peh, the Iser Iyat Torah Shalom B'Ksav. Why? Because Chazal tell us that the Luchos are not given to, you know, as the Sefer Torah is given to reading. You know, you read the Sefer Torah. But in the case of the Luchos, they were placed in the Aron. They were locked up in the Kodesh Kodoshim. No one could go in there and have access to the Luchos. So, Mimonavshach, the Luchos don't belong to Torah Shebichsav, because in our theoretical construct, they're only on the Luchos, and they're not incorporated into the Ksav of the five books. On the other hand, they don't have the din of Torah Shebal Peh, that you're not allowed to write them b'ksav, because they're not part of a Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh means that part of that corpus of Torah that's given to tradition, to pass on and to teach, transmitting from one generation to the other. Therefore, when you think about it, the obligation of a Talmud Chacham in Yediyas Chaf Dalet Sifrei HaKodesh was established in connection with the giving of the Luchos. Because the idea of a Talmud Chacham, Chaf Dalet Kodesh, its real secret, its real essence is to be Mitzarif the Ksav to the Peh of Vishinantan. Meaning that the Chaf Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, which are written, can now be incorporated through the Ksav into Vishinantam, into Talmud Torah, even though, despite the fact that he doesn't understand what he's reading. So there's definitely a connection here between the obligation of, as the Pachad Yitzchak called it, Chovazu Beichud Atzum Im Giluyam Shel Divrei Torah Ka'elu. Again, the language here is a bit heavy and somewhat obscure. He says, Asher Bahem Hape Im Haksav Omdim Behashvo Achas. Hashvo Achas Kazu Ein Lo Shum Mekar Acher Mulvad Bishnei Luchos Abris. Vim came Bevadi Shechovas Tamachov Bedias Achov Dalet Kisvei Kosh Arehi Haduka Vyaduka Bimatan Luchos Bimiyuchad Ubimisuyam. And basically what the Pachad Yitzchak seems to be presenting here, a brilliant idea that all of Torah is divided up into two very distinct parts that are fundamentally different and separate one from the other. There's Ksav and there's Peh. So much so that Ksav you're not allowed to say Bal Peh, and Peh you're not allowed to write B'Ksav. The exception to that rule is the Aseres HaDibros written on the Luchos. Insofar as they're written on the Luchos, that if we just focus on that Keta, you know, that independent Luchos experience, right? The reality of the Luchos is an equation between Ksav and Peh. No longer do the Aseres HaDibros inscribed on the Luchos have a status of either Ksav or Peh. It's sort of an integration of both. So when we separate between, you know, two personalities that are different, Ksav and Peh, and we take the Torah, we separate it, and we move it apart, and there's no overlap. You know, you can't have an overlap between Ksav and Peh in both directions. They have to be separate. Ksav not Bal Peh, and Peh not the Ksav. The exception to that is the Aseres HaDibros insofar as they're inscribed on the Luchos, because they fit neither into that specific category of Ksav to prohibit Bal Peh, nor do they fit into the category of Bal Peh to exclude Ksav. So the ultimate integration of all of Torah into one entity is the Luchos HaBris. And that integration, it reaches its most profound expression in the case of the obligation of a Talmud Chacham to know the Kisvei HaKodesh, which, on the one hand, we say that the Talmud Chacham represents Yediya, knowledge, and on the other hand, he's reading the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, which is Ksav, and the Osios themselves have an inherent kiyum to it. In a sense, the knowledge of and reading of the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh really is a gilui, is an expression of the integration of Peh and Ksav. Ksav in the most extreme sense, that he's just reading Osios, and it's all the Ksav, everything is inherent in the Ksav, and at the same time he reads it out loud with a dibur, as we said, the dibur on the lowest level of the hierarchy of the Dibartav Bam. And that is to take this Ksav and elevate it into the Koach HaDibur. That integration of Ksav and Peh, which is obligatory on the Talmud Chacham, as it expresses itself in Yediyas Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, is connected to the giving of the Luchos in a very unique way, because as we said before, what the Luchos represent is the equation and the identity of Peh and Ksav. And if we want to go a little bit deeper below the surface, let's remind ourselves of the famous Medrash of Chazal on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the fifth chapter, Nafshi Yotza Bidabro. My nefesh, in a sense, escaped from my body, Bidabro, because of his speech. And the Medrash tells us, it's also Gemara in the famous sugya of of Kabbalah Satorah and Shabbos Peches, that this pasuk in Shir Hashirim Perek Hey is an allusion to the giving of the Aser Sadibros at Har Sinai, called Dibur V'Dibur, Parcha Nishmasam. Somehow the ability of the human being as a combination of nefesh, of guf and nefesh, was unable to withstand the power of the Dibur of Hashem. And Parcha Nishmasam, that means the neshama was, you know, had completely had to escape from the guf. And of course, a guf cannot exist, cannot live without its neshama. And the Medrash goes on to say that there was a need to resurrect the people of Israel from the dead. And how is that achieved? Through the tal of tchiyah. There was a tal, a dew, of tchiyah sameisim. And if we think about the nature and the power of this tal, it's not something that is external to the Aseres HaDibros. This tal is actually hidden, it's inherent within the very tochen, the very substance of the Dibros themselves. And when the Gemara says in Ksubas Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Tal Shel Torah Mechayehu, there's a tal that represents a certain koach within the Dibros themselves, that's what gives life. And that's what brings the restoration of the neshama into the guf. The tchia is tal shel Torah mechayehu. So the divros themselves engender this tal shel Torah of tchia, this power that is able to resurrect the dead and give them, restore their life to them. After the neshama left through the dibur of Hashem, the guf became basically an even domim. It was like an inanimate object. The body of man, if you separate it from the neshama, is really just domeim. It's another piece of domeim on the face of the earth. The tal, which was inherent in the Aseres HaDibros that brought them back to tchiyah, that represents the ability to take a domeim and uplift it and bring it back to its higher status. And that's what the Aseres HaDibros is about. We don't find anything like this in other parts of Torah. The tal of tchiyah, to take an even domeim and give life to it, elevate it to the highest levels, is only exclusively in the Aseres HaDibros, not in any other part of Torah. And when we speak about the impact and the status of the Aseres HaDibros as being a unique part of Torah, it's really written here in this Medrash of Chazal in Torah Shebaal Peh that the Tal of Torah, which is inherent in the Aseres HaDibros, has the power of taking a domeim and uplifting it to the highest levels of Tchiyas HaMeisim, of restoring humanity, you know, the human being to the state of a domeim. And that means that the difference between the impact and the energy force of Aseres HaDibros, in contrast to the rest of the Torah, is defined in the following way. The rest of the Torah really belongs to the koach of Das, to the understanding of man and his intellect. When we talk about the impact of the Aseres HaDibros, we're talking about an impact on the guf. The tal of Torah that's inherent in the Aseres HaDibros is able to activate the guf, to give it life, to have an impact on the physical domeim. As people say, the meromeim bioser that a person has is to lower himself. So that the strange thing about the Aseres HaDibros is that they represent the highest level because they're able to reach down to the lowest level. The Aseres HaDibros have within them the power to take the guf, which is now, without its neshama, nothing more than an even hadomeim, and elevate it through tchiyah, restoring it to the highest levels. That's the greatness of the power of the Aseres HaDibros, that it reaches down to the lowest level. And therefore, it's not surprising to us that the entire episode of Aseres HaDibros is connected with the obligation of a Talmid Chacham to know the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, because the unique status of the Kisvei HaKodesh as the domeim of the Koach HaDibur, because of its lowest status, that even the Osios without Havana, without Das and Hasoga, are part of Torah, integrated into the Paratzuf of Torah. That itself is the message of the Tchiyas HaMeisim power of the Aseres HaDibros to go into the goof of a domain. The goof has a domain after the neshama was porachas and elevated through restoration of Tchiyah to the highest levels. And that's the kala miskashetis bechoftal kishutim. She takes even the even, the domain, and she elevates it to the highest level through the tsuras apartzuf of Adam. And the same is true for Talmud Chacham, who reads Kisvei HaKodesh in the sense of letters without meaning, and that takes these, you know, the dibur of the reading of Kisvei HaKodesh down to the lowest levels of Koach HaDibur, down to the domain levels, and elevates it. So this is all, in a sense, there's a threefold parallel image here, corresponding image, all of which is really one and the same. It's the Aseres HaDibros as the Tal of Torah that's able to be Mechayim Mesim and reach down to the lowest level of the domain of the Guf and elevate it to the highest level of man. And at the same time, it's the Koch of the Talmud Chacham through his reading of Kisvei HaKodesh as a Dibur Osios without Havana to reach down into the lowest level of domain with regard to the Dibaritamam and elevate it to the highest level. And at the same time, the ability of the Kala to demonstrate how even the domain element of the universe is integrated into man's Tzuras Adam, and how when she is miskashetes with the beautiful expensive stones. And perhaps we could expand this and embellish this by emphasizing the distinction between Matan Torah and Matan Luchos. Those are two phrases that you find, and they sound like they are interchangeable. What's the difference between Matan Torah and Matan Luchos? These are both gifts that are given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't tend to differentiate. But in truth, there is a fundamental difference between the two. Matan Torah is a gift that's given through Dibur, Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe. That is the coin, that's the matbea of Matan Torah. But when it comes to the Luchos, what we're talking about is not Dibur, but rather Vayitein El Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally hands over the Luchos to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a matana that's given in a very concrete way through a Maisa. And this you'll find in Shmos Laman Aleph. So if we talk about the matbea of Matan Torah and talk about the matbea of Matan Luchos, there's a fundamental difference. The matbea of Matan Torah is Vayidaber, the pasuk Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe, whereas the matbea shel Luchos is Vayitein. It's not Vayidaber, but Vayitein. The pasuk says Vayitein El Moshe. And what does it mean, Vayitein El Moshe? That's a Maisa. That's an actual act. It's like Kiddushin. You know, you give over something. And if this be the case, there's a fundamental difference in Ofanei HaMatan, in the two different ways in which the gift was given. And perhaps these two methods reflect really the nature and the impact of these two gifts, because the Aseres HaDibros really impacts on the goof itself, on the domain. As we said before, the Tal of Tchiyo, which is inherent in the Aseres HaDibros, to enter into the goof and revive the goof, to resurrect it from a domain to the highest level of a medaber, since the luchos are given b'derech maisa in a physical way as vayitein el Moshe, it makes sense that the physical world of maisa reaches down to the lowest level in the physical world of domein. In contrast, the rest of Torah, there we said that the rest of Torah is the pu'ul of Torah, the impact of Torah is das, is through the intellectual faculty of man. The matana is dibur, because dibur is das. Speech represents the greatest endowment of man, the intellect of man. And if this be the case, we can begin to understand the difference between the Torah, which is written on klaf, that's called the Sefer Torah, whereas the luchos that are inscribed on stone. In the case of Torah, we're talking about the klaf of Sefer Torah, which comes from the skin of a balchai. That's a high level within the strata of the universe. However, there's no klaf in the case of luchos, but rather even shtei luchos avonin, that basically never leave the world of domeim and climb to a higher level. And this is the deeper meaning of what we've discussed before, that at the time of matan haluchos, that matana represents the tziruf of the domeim of divrei Torah to the partzuf of a Talmud Chacham. So the matan luchos, which represent the giving of physical stones, of tablets, the lowest level of the universe, the domeim level, really represents, as the Medrash Tanhuma that we started with connects it to the study, or the, shall we say, the reading of Kisvei HaKodesh, which is a dibur on the lowest rung of the ladder of domeim, of dibur of the domeim. And therefore, the gift that's given here in the luchos really represents that tziruf of domeim to divrei Torah. That ability for the aseres hadibros to have an impact on the guf hadomeim, to revive it, represents that ability to take the domeim and elevate it that we find in within the context of Torah study, meaning the domeim of a divar tabam. At that very moment of Matan Torah, we have this vision of the increase, the intensity of the yofi, the beauty of the kala, where she takes tachshitim, which are domeim, the avonim tovos, margolius tovos, and she integrates them into her spiritual makeup, her partzuf, taking the domeim, as it were, and elevating it. And therefore, it's amazing to think about the fact that this image that the Medrash is conveying to us of the kala wearing all these beautiful tachshitim, that really is inherent in the word kala, right? Because we saw that the word kikaloso is written chaser. That's the takeoff point of this Medrash in Tanhuma. It says, Vayitein el Moshe kikaloso ledaber imo. And what that means is that after Matan Torah was given derech dibur, kikaloso ledaber, and now it's the moment for the transition from dibur to maisa, to the act of Vayitein, of giving, the nesina, kikaloso ledaber, with the termination of dibur, which is das, nosan Moshe shnei luchos avonim. The nesina here is the maisa, the mesira miyad liyad, the giving of the luchos over to Moshe. The word kikaloso on pshuto shel mikra even now means that transition between the matan Torah of derech dibur and the matan Torah derech maisa. The Matan Torah derech dibur, which is written on a klaf of Balchai, to the Matan Torah of Maisa, of giving over the Torah on two tablets of stone, which is b'derech domeim, a cheftz of domeim. And this really embellishes what we've said before, that the beauty of the kala is the ability of her integration of using the avonim tovos into her partzuf, to take this domeim and integrate it into the partzuf. And that's exactly what's going on here with the transition from dibur to nesina shtei haluchos. To take the nesinas of shtei haluchos and the even, the stones on which the luchos were engraved, represents the domeim. And just like the kala is able to take the avonim tovos of domeim and integrate it into our paratzuf and use it as part of atzura in the highest level, the theophy of the kala, so too with the matan of the luchos under vayitain, the luchos themselves representing the physical domeim element of Torah, and that itself can be elevated to the highest level of the parts of the Talmud Chacham, to take that domeim level on the bottom level of the bottom rung of this ladder and elevate it higher and higher. And if we take this one step further, we begin to understand the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu as it expressed itself in the tefillah on Shachris of Shabbos of Yismach Moshe. It's not enough just to say Ushtei Luchos Avonim, that Moshe was given the Luchos Avonim, but rather Horid Biyado, What's the emphasis here? Shteluchas von horid biyado. Why dafka that nusach? Why not vayitein this nitnu liyado? But really, what the liturgist who writes the author's tefillah is trying to emphasize and transmit about the greatness of Moshe is that Moshe gives the luchos. It's a maisa. The Matan Torah here is not derech dibur but derech maisa, and that's the horid biyado, biyado mamish. When you speak about horid biyado, you're talking about the giving of the luchos as a cheft of domim. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. That through this maisa of a horid biyado, of giving as a domim, the luchos themselves, that itself indicates that man is capable, within the context of Dibur, to reach not only the highest levels of Das and Seichel, but also to integrate, to reach down to the lowest level of domim, the level of the Matan Torah, of the Luchos Derech Maisa of Horid Biyado, to elevate the domain of Torah, as we spoke about the Kisvei HaKodesh of the Osios of the writing, to the highest level of the Partzuf of Talmud Chacham. And this is all a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's Horid Biyado, Shtei Luchos Havanim, Horid Biyado. And this perhaps will open up a light, open up a window to understand the Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko of v'chasu b'em shmira Shabbos v'chein chasu b'sorasecha. The python here in authoring this tefillah is pointing with his finger to the special unique status of Kedusha Shabbos as it's written in the Luchos. And what does it mean? We have to talk about the special Kedusha of Shabbos and define its essence. The Shabbos, had it been written in the Chumash and not in the Luchos, would be kaviyochol incomplete. What would be lacking to the Shabbos? And the answer is that what is Kedusha Shabbos? Kedusha Shabbos, the ribui, so to speak, the special unique nature of Kedusha Shabbos Kodesh is that without it, what's the difference between this world and the next world? They're two separate worlds. And yet, Shabbos connects those two worlds. The Olam Hazeh, the Olam Habah, the Kedusha of Shabbos is the creation of a new entity, a new reality of Me'ein Olam Hava. And this is emphasized in the Gemara Brachos on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, that the Kedusha of Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Hava. And when we speak about Me'ein Olam Hava, we're not sure what dimension of Olam Haba we're referring to. Is the Olam Haba element here and Me'ein Olam Haba, right? Mahi Madrigas Olam Haba Shal Shabbos and Asbol Me'ein. And the answer is, as the Gemara Navot Zora, Daftalon Beis uses the phrase Torah Emes Ksivba, and that means here in our context that all the visions of the Kedusha Shabbos as they are projected in the Torah, the Madrega, this level of the vision of Me'ein Olam Haba, is really appropriate for that special Madrega of Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos, which is written on the Luchos, is the Me'ein Olam Haba of the Tal HaTchia of Tchiyas HaMeisen. The Tal of Tchiya inherent in the Aseres HaDibros is the power of Tchiyas HaMeisen. And therefore giving the Torah of the Luchos, as we said, the Maisa, is really an act of reviving the Domeim. Because as we said, Parcha Nishmasam. So the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos is the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos that's written on the Luchos. Meaning, the Me'ein, the similarity here between this world and the next, is that transition of Tchiyas HaMeisen, the Kedusha of Shabbos, insofar as it is inscribed in the Luchos, and is given in the Luchos, is the Kedusha of the transition into the world of Tchiyas HaMeisen, of taking the Domeim and restoring its life force. it means that Shabbos is a day of Me'ein Tchiyas HaMeisim. And that's the end of the Pasuk Yismach Moshe. Shtei Luchos Avon Har B'Yod V'Kos of Em Shvira Shabbos. In other words, it's not only that Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Luchos B'Yodo, and as we said before, the Horada B'Yodo indicates the domain element of the Luchos, and that becomes part and integrated into the parts of Talmud Chacham. The fact that that Matan Torah, in this case of the Luchos, is given Derech Maisa, which impacts on the domain, not just on the Dibur of Das, and that itself reaches its fruition in the words V'kasu Bem Shvir Shabbos, that the Divrei Torah of the Luchos are the Tal Shel Torah to restore life to the Guf Domeim after Parcha Nishmasam. That's what it means for Kosovo Shmir Shabbos, that the Shmir Shabbos, by being incorporated into the Luchos, gives a Me'ein Olam Haba experience to Shabbos. The Luchos represent Tchias HaMeisim, because at the time they were given, the Tal that's inherent in the Luchos is what was Mechaya Meisim, responsible for, it was the energy for us, the catalyst of Tchias HaMeisim. And Shabbos now, once it's integrated into the Shtei Luchos, it has the level of Tchias HaMeisim. And therefore the Me'ein Olam Haba that we speak about in Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, it means it's Me'ein Tchias HaMeisim, because it's written in the Aseres HaDibros. Now just in passing, before we finish, I just want to make a comment. I don't know how the Pachad Yitzchak is going to interpret the rest of the Aseres HaDibros, meaning the other nine, insofar as they are also integrated into the Luchos, should also have this bechina of a domain that's being revived, that's being resuscitated, and has a Tchias HaMeisim element to it. I don't see why Shmir Shabbos should be the exclusive possessor of the Me'ein Olam Haba of Tchias HaMeisim, that insofar as the mitzvah is written in the Luchos, and the Luchos themselves represents the Tal Tchi of Tchias HaMeisim, then all 10 mitzvahs should have that status. Okay, that's just in passing a Tzarech Iyun. But now let's go back to Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelku, Shnei Luchos Avon Mar B'yodo, Kosovem Shmir Shabbos. And we were wondering, why is it a message, a demonstration of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the fact that the mitzvah of Shabbos is incorporated into the Luchos? What difference does it make whether Shabbos was incorporated into the Luchos? I mean, there's no difference between Shabbos and all the other Dibros, but rather this is what we're saying. Horadas ha-Luchos, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu brings down the Luchos in his own hands, which is repeated twice, once with regard to Luchos and Rishonos, and once with regard to the second set of Luchos. The Torah records twice that the Luchos were brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu. However, Shneim lo niskaimu etzleinu before mamish. We don't have the kiyum of both Luchos. The first set of Luchos were broken, and in truth, even the second set of Luchos we don't really have. Chazal tell us that they were hidden away. This is the Gemara in Hori Yosef Daf Yud Beis, that the Luchos Hashnios Nignizu were actually hidden, and perhaps the raiders are still looking to find exactly where these Luchos Avonim are to be found. But in any event, before Mamish, we don't have neither the first set of Luchos which were broken, the second set of Luchos which were Nignizu. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future will bring them back in the Olam Haba period. The Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, and therefore even now we have a little bit of a taste of a comfort, of an experience on each Shabbos of the return to us, to the people of Israel, of the Matan Luchos. And that's the great ribui here, that's the emphasis here on the greatness, the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is inherent, which is hidden in the fact that Shmir Shabbos is written in the Luchos, because that's the power of the Horadas HaLuchos B'yad Moshe, that even after they were broken and after they were hidden away in the second Luchos, nevertheless we do have something that links us between this world and the next world, the restoration of the Luchos. We have the Me'ein, that Horadas HaLuchos on every Shabbos, in a sort of a re-experiencing on a weekly basis of Tchiyas HaMesim, and Moshe Rabbeinu, by being Morid the Luchos, and not only being Morid the Luchos, but inscribing Shabbos on the Luchos, is giving Klal Yisrael such a great gift. The ability on the one hand to take a domain and bring it to the highest level. The Luchos, which represent the ability of Tchiyas HaMesim to take the Guf domain after Parcha Nishmasam and revive the Guf. And that is now written in Shabbos, inscribed in the Aseres, in the Luchos, to give us a Me'ein Horadas HaLuchos on every single Shabbos, meaning the Horadas HaLuchos, which refers to the Tchiyas HaMesim power, is that's what the Paiton means when he says, Shnei Luchos HaVonim HaRbiyot V'Kosimem Shmir Shabbos, that the ability or the experience of taking the domain, which is now a dead body, it's really just like any other domain, and reviving it, giving it life, and bringing it to the highest level, that is inherent in the Shabbos, insofar as the Shabbos is inscribed in the Luchos, because the Luchos are the Tal Shel Tchiya that give us life, the Tchiyas HaMesim, that's the Me'ein Olam Hab of Shabbos, Yirotzim Ibizocha, to not only understand the Shabbos, but observe the Shabbos, and on a weekly basis, to experience the Me'ein Olam Hab, to give us a Tchiya, and to transmit deep into our hearts the message that man has the capacity to bring the lowest levels of this universe, of the domain, up into the highest levels of Parsuf HaAdam. May we be Zocha to live up to that challenge. Kein Yiratzon Amen.